Are you ready? He's coming out here. You got a man. I got to say this. Years ago, I did women's conferences for about 8 years with two other gals that were from different churches. They saw our Holy Spirit dove out on the front of our building, and the one gal stopped here and said the Lord told her to come because she knew we were Holy Spirit Church. It ends up that we did 8 conferences together of interdenominational faith. And so there would be all different kinds of churches here, different ladies. One gal was Lutheran, one was Methodist, and then there was me. And they Googled us online. And of course it said, you know, you Google anything online and it says all these crazy things about us. And I thought, oh. So then they came to talk to me about it. We need to have a meeting with you. And I thought, oh no, here we go. We had all these plans and all this stuff. And the Lord said, don't say a word. And I, you know. And they said, we Googled you online, your church, and it says this, and it says this. And I was like wanting to defend. And he said, don't say a word. And I'm just sitting there. And they said, but we know you, and we've heard you preach Jesus, and we've seen you heal people. And they just go on and on and on. And and every bit in me wanted to say something. Every other word, don't say nothing. And they get to the hall of this. They did the whole defense of me in this church and went, we're good. We just wanted to let you know that you should know that's out there and it's not right. And I never said a word and it was all done. They just had this meeting while I was sitting in it and it was all done. You know, Lord had justice. So yeah, yeah, whatever you want to do. And Tom and Sue have been at this church before me. They've been here for a long, long time with Christian Family Fellowship. And Tom and Sue are my kind of people. Tom said to my father-in-law, I'm going to say it for him. He said, well, he wanted him to be on the board. And John told me himself. I said, well, what did Tom say to that? You know, be on the board. That sounds, woo. He said, Tom said, are we going to have fun? Because if we're not going to have fun, I'm not doing it. So that's our motto around here. Jesus is a fun guy. And we're all in for some fun. So I brought up the interdenominational women because one of the things that they are a big deal about is having a covering of a man that is a pastor. And I was like, what? But they specifically went out of their way to ask for Tom and to ask for Wayne after they knew them to come in and minister to us, pray over us, speak to us. And it really was powerful to have that agreement over us. It wasn't about, oh, they're going to lord over us or tell us. It was that they were agreeing with these verses that we've been looking at and talking about. And it looses something in the kingdom with that agreement. And they just loved, well, they loved both of them, Tom and Wayne. But Tom got to come and preach to us at least once or twice at those things. So this time, it came to my spirit that, oh, we should have Tom. And I thought, oh, no, but we got all these other teachers. But, and I let it ride. And then about a month before, he comes walking towards me and says, hey, I want to talk to you about the women's conference. And I said, yes, you are coming. Now, I don't know what he was going to talk to me about, but he went from I'm going to talk to you to he's here. So here you go. Right, we're going to hear what he has to say.
Thanks. Thanks. Thank you. Well, God's good, isn't he? Yes. I'm trying to train myself so Jesus is the first word that comes out of my mouth many times. Especially as we walk through life with the many challenges that are out there. Tanya had asked me to... Well, I was going to ask her. I knew that I was supposed to speak, but I didn't think I was supposed to teach. So I expected to come out here last night and speak for 5 or 10 minutes and be done, and you guys could go on your merry way. And then she said about a month ago, you need to be there every day. And I'm thinking, Jesus, right in the middle of planning time. And well, as you can see, it's raining. I have no concern about being anywhere else today but here. Why don't we just go to the book of Judges, please? Chapter 4. And we're going to start. I got some other things that I wanted to talk about, but this is where we got to start. I don't know what, I might not get to anything that I wanted to talk about today. Okay? Is that all right with you? All right. Judges 4. Why don't we just start in verse 4? Well, let's just read one. Let's just read it. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when he who was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have read all these, Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of, oh, gee, many Christmas, Kadesh Naphtali. And said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. We're talking about a war here. And Israel had been messing up, and they finally, like we all do after we mess up for a while, we finally realize we're messing up, and we go get some counsel. And Deborah was the prophetess at that time. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kedesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent into the plain of Zanium, which is by Kadesh. If you have trouble with these words, we're only going to read them once, so don't. And they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. His hand, right? But he was already told, you're not going to be the one that takes care of him. I'm going to deliver him into the hand of a woman. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. And Barak pursued after the chariots, after the host, unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Now, when you're dealing with God, it's pretty interesting to know, when he's on your side, your enemy's gonna get wiped out. That's still true today. We need to fight for more of what God has delivered into our hands. There's this book. It's called Vengeance of the Lord, The Justice System of God. It's written by Bill Winston, a little black man out of Chicago. If you want to Google, it's amazing what the man has done and is doing throughout the country and the world. He's established a business school to help those less. He's a black man, so he deals a lot with black people, but he still wants white people to succeed too, so we're not. But we have to understand what lane those guys run in, so we understand why they say some of the things they do that might offend us if we don't understand really what God's called them to do. Well, anyway, this book, when I first heard it and first heard him talk, I had a little problem with the word vengeance. Probably because I know the mercy of God. I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ a little bit. And I know that God is a loving God. So when I think of God's vengeance, I had just a little bit of problem with it. But I want to read something that he says in here, and maybe it will help you like it helped me. If I can find it. I was supposed to mark it. Let me make very clear that the vengeance of the Lord has nothing to do with hate, emotional resentment, or retaliation. But it involves the necessity of punishing offenders, in other words, evil, punishing offenders, which proceeds from a love of justice. This vengeance is the judgment of God upon the devil and his agents of evil, including anything and everything standing in the way of establishing God's kingdom or government. Those hindering or stopping the spread of the gospel and those interfering with the rights of God's kingdom citizens are subject to God's vengeance. Now we can think, oh, Lord, he's going to rain down. Well, sometimes he does some things I don't understand. You read Acts 5 and where the two people fell down dead, and I'm thinking, I don't know if that's the God I know or not. Well, I think there's probably some things in there that if we understand, we really realize who God really is. He wants to bring justice. I've known for a long time that he has wanted to bring justice, especially to women in this period of time. I don't know why I've felt that way, but I know I've felt that way for a long period of time. But for the women to receive justice, there has to be faith behind their move with God. He doesn't do anything without your faith. What I'm trying to say is that if you want justice to come from him, use your faith for it. Call for it. Don't just say, well, you know, that's the way culture is, and accept it. You either can do that or you can change the culture. You know, the word has to be powerful enough to change the culture. You know, if somebody brings up something to you and say, well, that's culture, so it's okay, they can do that because of the culture, that's bull. Unless the word okays it, it's not right. Now, that doesn't mean everybody that's messing up is going to hell. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about wanting to walk out with confidence, knowing that your God is going to defend you at all times, and he wants to bring justice to your life and to you. Wherever you've been messed over, screwed up, you don't have to be a woman to get messed up and screwed over. I've been messed up and screwed over. I need to learn to call for his justice on my life, for my life. And I'd have to do that with faith. So I have to have faith in God's willingness to justify me. Hallelujah. He didn't send us here to right the wrong. That's his business. That's his business. He didn't send us here to do that. He sent us here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he sent us to do. And it's not us against them. People. It's us against the devil, the enemy. Otherwise, you won't believe in vengeance because you'll think, oh, that's not right. This is happening to those people. If it's God's business and he needs to take somebody out, God can take somebody out, and you need to be okay with it. If you can't figure that out, that he's love and he can still take care of you, then go to him about it and he'll help you with it. But you need understanding there so you can claim what he has for you. You won't go after all his goodness if you are afraid of him justifying your life. I asked, when I was going to be up here, I was talking to the Lord about stuff, and he says, Now, I want you to listen real closely. This is kind of a... He said, I need more... Well, let's read just a couple more scriptures till we get to the name. Because I want to talk to you about the name first. Where did I leave off? Verse 15? No, 16. 17? 17. Okay, 17. So we're in 18. We're in 17. Okay, thank you. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of... Now, this is what I... How do you want me to pronounce this name? Jael. Is that okay? We get in agreement with that? I don't want to be up here saying some name and you guys thinking he's not pronouncing that right. I know you're not like me, hopefully. I mean, I do that sometimes when I hear somebody say something. Well, I never heard it pronounced like that. And I'm thinking more about that than I am what he's saying. Chewy. Jael, is that okay? You good? You good with that? Okay. To the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. Anyway, I had asked the Lord, and he said, I need more Jaels. If that pings you, please remember that. Okay? If it doesn't, that's okay. But if it does, I want you to remember it. I need more Jaels. And Jael won't. Out to meet Sisera, and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her, into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. I mean, she's just, it looks like on the outside, she's just really taking care of the guy. There's another hidden message here that I want to talk about just for a second. Is watch and see how she takes care of her tent. And I want you to realize and remember that in most cases, the woman is in charge of the tent, the home, the protection of the home. For some reason, God's designed it that way, that for the most part, you're in charge of that. And you're responsible for your tent and for your home and what's in there. Okay? Okay? Okay. You see how she takes care of her tent? Covered him with a mantle. Verse 19. And he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk. I mean, she went way above, you know, and gave him to drink and covered him. Again, he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, is there any man here? Thou shalt say no. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it to the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. So he died. You know, when you read that on the surface, it looks like she might have been deceptive. I tell you, when you're about God's business, don't worry about doing some things that might not look the right way to you. Hallelujah. He doesn't think like us. He wants us to think like him. But I want you to read, you can stay, well, you might as well see it in verse, in chapter 5, what he says about her in verse 24. Blessed above all women shall Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He needs more Jaels. If that pinged you, I would like for you to come up. And if not, that's okay. But if it did, I'd like for you to come up. I've got a hammer. Now, this is significant to me because it's bloodwood. It's very hard. We can do what we do because of the blood of Jesus. So I want you to take the hammer and I want you to hit it. And I don't care how many times you hit it. Hit it how many times the Spirit tells you to hit it. Do some beating. Okay? What she did in the tent was she was taking down the other kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
That's what we do. We take down the other kingdom. Jesus came to defeat the works of the enemy.
Yes.
We need to be about his business. And some of you have some things you really need to drive a nail into today.
Yes.
Yes. And if he told me to tell you, anybody out there that said, oh, I wish I would have gone up, come on up sometime. Even if it's later, we'll put this in Kevin's office on two chairs and you can go in and beat to your heart's delight. But some of you really need to wail.
Yes.
I used to play racquetball. And one of my goals when I was playing racquetball was to hit my my opposing guy in the rear end. Well, a lot of guys, they get on the court and they want to take up the whole court. And so you got to punish them for that. And that was what I would do when I was playing racquetball. If I was really having a bad day, they were in for big trouble. And that's really what I want you to do today. I want you to see yourself pounding in the devil. You guys go about your business and do what you need to do.
Oh.
I don't know if anybody else felt that in the spirit.
Yeah.
But I did.
Sadie.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Sadie.
Yes. Hey. I think that's awesome.
I think that's what we're doing to the kingdom.
Yes.
We're taking his kingdom apart. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, taking him down, amen. Well, my time is up. Like I was kind of figured, I wasn't going to get to what I was going to talk about. But God's good. He wants you to be aggressive. One thing. There, you know, a lot of times you're worried about or concerned about what God's called you to do. Just be faithful.
Amen.
He'll open up avenues for you. He'll make a way for you. It says in the scripture, a man's gifts makes room for him. What he needs is faithfulness. He'll put you wherever he needs you. If you're faithful. I know when we started this ministry, I knew I needed to go and I needed to be there all the time. I needed to be there every day. Not very many people came every day. But that was easy. Just showing up is easy. Just show up. He'll do the hard stuff, okay? Just show up. Just show up. Just be faithful. Thanks for being here. And be aggressive with your faith, okay? He wants to justify. He wants to bring justice to you in your life. All right?
All right.
Love you.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, go ahead.
Let me sit down. You can stay. When I walked in her office yesterday, I saw this. Only it was like 10 times bigger than this. Yeah, you ever seen something? I mean, it just went like, ah! It was out. And I looked at it later and I think, well, it's not all that bacon. But what he was showing me is it was you. That's you guys. You guys are the warriors. You guys are the, and you really are. You're the warriors. And he's got these guys fighting on your behalf. What you can't handle, he can. All right? Amen to that?